Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. While the stay-at-home order has us remaining in place, it's also sparked interest in getting outside and gardening as another way to provide food and limit what you'll need at the grocery store in the future. But if you're considering growing food for the first time, knowing what to plant and when can be a big task to figure out. In the meantime, our farming contributor Dave Kozlowski of Pinehold Gardens in Oak Creek says that he'll keep planting and harvesting as normal with the hope of some form of farmer's market in the near future. But he says if you're interested in planting, right now we're still in the cold weather plant season for things like lettuce, spinach, beets, and more. However, some of the most popular plants you can put in your garden in warmer weather are part of the solanaceous group. Kozlowski says these are plants that you would not normally know by that name, but you definitely know by the items in it.
The three big ones are tomatoes and peppers and eggplants. And I thought it would be a good place to start because when farmer markets come around, and I'm hoping they do, these, particularly tomatoes, are vegetables that a lot of folks look for. I mean, I would say my experience in farmer markets, the two most popular vegetables are sweet corn and tomatoes. And they come at about the same time in the season. And so during sweet corn and tomato season, the market is just abuzz with people. The reason I like these plants, particularly the tomatoes, peppers, and eggplant, and there are other members of this family that we'll get to, but these three I consider sort of eye candy for the farm market. Because they can really dress up a farm stand. The tomatoes come in so many different colors, same with peppers. And then you got this either a beautiful creamy white color for the eggplant, which is a little bit unusual. It's an Asian variety. Or the more recognized deep, you know, sort of royal purple color of the eggplant. Even if you don't buy them, it's worth going through the market just to see all this laid out. It's quite a sight, and that's why I call it eye candy.
It will be a nice sight once we can go to farmer's market and see all the vegetables and fruits out and people out and our farmers' faces.
Yeah. And, you know, the good thing about the solanaceous groups is that they're later in the season. So my sense of where farmer markets are at is we might delay them, but I haven't heard anybody yet of canceling a market. So when markets do come online, if they come on a little later, they'll start coming online about the time that these crops and sweet corn are coming on.
So there won't be too much of a major shift of how you're harvesting or how you plan to move what crops you have.
No, yeah, still at this point, I know last time when we talked, we're still going ahead as though the season's going to be normal. And at this point, we're still doing that. We have some early crops planted that if the market does come on time, we'll have some things to sell. If it's delayed, hopefully the restaurants will be up and running. Otherwise, we'll be eating a lot of spinach and a lot of beets and a lot of kale.
Yeah, indeed. So you mentioned tomatoes, peppers, eggplants. I'm thinking also on a smaller scale, are things like tomatillos or ground cherries part of the solanaceous family too?
Yeah, they are. Tomatoes, peppers, and eggplant are the three biggies. Then the other two is the tomatillo, which is also called a husk tomato, and the ground cherry, which is called a husk cherry. And so those two are very, very similar botanically, but culinarily entirely different. And I separated them out from the first three because unless you have a Hispanic cultural background, not too many people are familiar with tomatillas. And really, unless you're of another generation, even older than the boomers, older than myself, ground cherries aren't very popular either. But they're both delicious. I love tomatillas, and ground cherries come in several different flavors, pineapple flavor, kind of a peri flavor. They're quite good too. And then of course there's what I call the odd duck, that's in the solanaceous group, and that's potato. It does not seem at all to fit with any of those others, which produce a fruit. That's with the tomato and the pepper and the eggplant and the ground cherry and the tomatillo, they're actually fruits, doesn't produce a fruit, but it produces that fleshy tuber that we're familiar with. And yet it is part of that same group of plants. Potatoes, if you allow them to flower, will occasionally sport a little green tomato-like fruit on it. Totally inedible, as far as I know, but that's its recognition of where it came from. But that's not what we use the potato for. We use it for the, obviously, the fleshy root.
Right, and I was going to ask with the debate of if something has seeds, it's a fruit, but obviously potatoes don't have those visible seeds that we associate with things like tomatoes and peppers and even eggplants. So that little fruit that they produce, that's the only reason they're kind of away at the kid table in the corner of this family of plants?
Well, there's other things. The leaf is similar, and I'm sure there's other botanical or chemical reasons why it's similar to the solanaceous. But really, that's its only visible claim to that group, is that occasional little, and not every potato will produce it every time, but it does produce it every once in a while. And I've had friends that tried to take that and take those seeds out and try to grow a potato plant from those seeds. And it can be done, but you don't know what you're going to get. Could be, who knows, because the seeds go back deeper into the family tree of the plant, so you're not going to probably get the potato that you think you're going to get out of growing it from the seed. All of these members of the solanaceous family, you grow from transplants because they're all tropical or subtropical plants. And we don't have a long enough growing season to stick a tomato seed in the ground and expect to get a tomato plant out. So we grow transplants. So we start with a seed, but we grow our own plants, and then we put the plants in the ground. So when people go shopping for tomatoes, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the tomato plants. And same with peppers, and same with eggplant. You grow those all from live plants. Potatoes are similar in a way. You grow potatoes from potatoes, from the live potato itself. In that way, it is similar. It's just not the plant that you're growing. It's the tuber that you're growing.
So would these plants be a little more difficult than people would initially think of growing in their own gardens? Because I think a lot of people are perhaps thinking of doing a resurgence of the Victory Garden, but Corona edition.
Yep. We're all Corona coping here. And I can tell you that it is indeed a real thing, because the subdivision that's just to the west of us, I have seen new gardens go in where there hasn't been gardens for decades. So people are getting a renewed interest in gardening. They're having a hard time finding seed because so many people are interested in gardening that seed companies have stopped selling seeds to private individuals and are saving them for like commercial growers like us. So it's getting to be very popular. And these crops can be a little bit tricky to grow for the gardener. I certainly would encourage them to give a try. But they're a little tricky because they like it warm, so you can't put them out early.
So not this month when we've had snow.
No. They don't even like to get drop temperatures below 50 degrees. So you need to have even a nighttime temperature above 50 degrees. And your soils need to be warm. So if you're going to grow it in your garden, definitely find the warmest place in your yard to put your garden if you want to grow these crops. And you definitely have to grow the transplants because it's going to take you a month and a half before you get a fruit, maybe even 2 months, depending on how much sun you get. You need to be able to start with a live plant. And you probably aren't going to be able to set it out. Our last frost date around here, I think, is May 15th. So Memorial Day is the typical planting weekend for people, and you're probably safe to put peppers and tomatoes out on that day, but I would watch the weather. This year seems pretty odd.
Yeah. So also in the solanaceous kind of family, we can talk a little bit about the black sheep or nightshade, otherwise known as belladonna.
It in fact is a toxic plant. The berry is toxic. The leaves are toxic. It was the poison, by the way, used to kill one of the Augustus Caesars in Rome in the last century BC. So it's got a little bit of a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
The roots of this toxicity can become a little bit apparent when I know people who don't like green peppers because they taste a little bit bitter to them. And that's in part because there's just a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of the solanin in there, which is the toxin that can cause a little bit of bitterness. This goes away when the plant, when the peppers ripen and turn color, and they're sweeter, but it's a little bit there in a green plant. And it's also there, the nod to belladonna, is there with potatoes if they get green. A green potato develops a significant amount of solanin in it, and it can affect different people differently. Sometimes it tastes just like a bitter potato to some folks. To others, like myself, I can actually get physically ill if I eat a green potato. And that's the solanin, that's the toxin in that family of nightshades that they haven't quite cultivated out yet. We still have it. I don't know that it's available in any way in tomatoes. I haven't ever seen that or heard that, or in tomatillas or ground cherries. But it definitely is in potatoes when they're green. So you should try to avoid eating a green potato. And if you're growing potatoes, which, by the way, are very easy to grow, make sure you have them buried deep in soil so that the sun does not get to the tubers. And that's the other thing that makes potatoes such an odd duck with this group of family, because the diseases that tend to affect the solanaceous crops, particularly tomato, eggplant, and pepper, are Verisilium and Septorial, and these are soil fungus. And so you want to try to keep those plants separated from the soil as much as possible, so you don't water overhead. You try to put mulch down underneath the plant so the soil doesn't splash on the plant. But potatoes, you're burying them in the ground, and you're mounding it up with soil, so it's entirely, you know, resistant to those types of diseases. Now, there are diseases that affect potatoes, various blights, early and late blight, but not these leaf spot diseases, not these fungal diseases. And insects, by the way, also love the solanaceous crops. The hornworm in particular on peppers and tomatoes, a beautiful, beautiful caterpillar, by the way. It is drop-dead gorgeous, but it will devour your tomato plants. And fortunately, it's easily picked off. And the other one is another extraordinarily beautiful beetle. It's called the Colorado potato beetle. Affects the potatoes. Again, if you catch the adults, they're easily picked off and not a problem. But both of them are really beautiful insects.
So with all of these, you know, things to consider with this crop, for now, should we just work on prepping gardens and perhaps just wait till it's nice and warm and transplant those physical plants later on?
Yeah, if you definitely insist on tomatoes and peppers and eggplant, wait. They tend to like a nice loose soil, but not too high. And like, I wouldn't put a lot of fertilizer or something in it. They can get too leafy. And if they get too leafy, then your fruit doesn't really ripen very well. So yeah, give it time. We're not going to be anywhere near time for planting those crops quite yet. It's still time for peas and lettuce and spinach and things like that.
Well, and then hopefully down the road, I'll be able to see you and the lovely solanaceous plants you've gathered.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all of those. I mean, peppers are one of my favorite plants. And so I'm looking forward to getting peppers, which we'll be seeding, by the way, this week. We plant about 2,000 pepper plants, and we'll be seeding them in trays so we can get our transplants ready by the time the warm weather comes around.
Excellent. Well, I'll look forward to the updates next time we talk. And Dave, thanks so much for taking a bit of your day to speak with me.
Not a problem, Audrey. Let's hope it gets warmer soon.
Lake Effect contributor Dave Kozlowski and his wife Sandy Rodens co-own Pinehold Gardens in Oak Creek. You can listen to our past farming segments with him at WUWM.com.